Esperamos.
Always good to have good hopes.
Thank you very much. It's become commonplace in our country to find people crying out for justice. People see what they perceive to be a lack of justice, and they say, justice is not being served. We need justice. If people perhaps were a little more familiar with Scripture, they would know that justice is a Bible subject. One of the places where justice is discussed is the book of Habakkuk. Yeah, Habakkuk, of course, is one of those Old Testament prophets. He is considered a minor prophet, not because he was of lesser importance, but because of his book being a little shorter than some others. As you look at the prophet Habakkuk, you find that he was living in a time that was a very difficult time. The book tells us, and you don't have to get past the first chapter, that he was living in a time that was a violent time. It was a time where people were not nice to one another. It was a time where false worship abounded. There were people who were involved with idol worship as far as the Hebrews. There was violence in the land. And if the violence, if the idolatry, if the lack of justice were not enough, as you look at God's people, it is as if this, at this time in history, they had elevated themselves above God. Because of Habakkuk, he was trying to live a righteous life. Because of all the bad stuff happening in his nation, he comes to God and he asks this question, Habakkuk 1 and verse 2. Oh, Jehovah, oh God, how long? There's that question again. How long, God, am I going to cry? How long, oh God, am I going to passionately pray? And as I offer my prayers, God, you're not hearing. And how long, oh God, are you going to let violence in the land? How long, oh God, as I cry out for salvation, you will not offer that. God's prophet was focused on how bad things were and how bad they were going to remain. I have one non-standard translation that I happened to check for this section of the book, and it has a heading, not that God put the heading there, but there was a man who tried to sum up, and the heading says, justice is a joke. Now, I like that heading because that does a pretty good job of describing what life was like in Habakkuk's day. Justice is a joke. Go to court, expect justice. Expect justice from the civil authorities, the religious authorities, and it was not going to be found. In fact, as you look at this book, it sounds a lot like modern news in America. Now, after Habakkuk expresses this cry perhaps for some time to God, how long, O God, are you going to let these things occur? God gives an answer, and it's less specific about when, it's more specific about how. As we look at Habakkuk, we are reminded today of many people, oftentimes some of God's best people, they turn to God and they ask how long. Now, there might be a number of ways in which we could say that God's people turn to him and ask how long, but here's the one that I want to begin with. Day in and day out. I don't know about all the places perhaps where you go, the people that you see, the things that you may read, but I do know that several of us each day are bombarded with stuff that involves LGBTQ. Do you know what those few letters stand for? If a current, and this is very recent within the last few days, if a current assessment is correct, 5.6 of the adults at the present time identify as LGBTQ. Now somebody says, well, that doesn't sound like very many people. Let's look at it from a different perspective. That's about 18 million people. Now even in a nation the size of ours, 18 million people turns out to be a bunch. If you look at Generation Z, this is narrowing things down a little bit, and you think, okay, I'm confused. Let's see, which generation is that? I'll help you. Generation Z would be the young people who are between the ages of 18 and 23. This survey, which I have some confidence in, says that 15.9, almost just under 16% of the people from 18 to 23 identify as LGBTQ. Now, if you're a young person growing up, that probably doesn't seem to be too perhaps unusual to you because you've grown up with it and it's gotten bigger and bigger as time has passed. But if you're over about the age of 35 and 40, you look at those figures and they are beyond disturbing. They are figures where perhaps as you hear that information, you go to God and you say, God, how long can our nation go through this kind of thing? How much further can we go as a people and stand as a nation? How much further, God, can we go before you begin to severely punish us? We have people right now who are very influential, if not people who have powerful positions, who think that kids, if they need stitches, got to get the parents' approval for that. If your child needs an aspirin in school, got to get approval for that. But they are the same people who think that if your child has some questions about what gender is right for him or her, don't need to call mom and dad. We can go ahead and help them with that change. And once again, people, especially those who are in the 30s, late 30s and up, are wondering, asking God, how long? I don't know how much you follow the news. I didn't get to see the full story, but I did see enough of the news this morning to note that a judge has just made a decision in a case which involved a transgender man who wanted to enter a beauty contest. Now, folks, that's where we are. Transgender people wanting to enter a beauty contest. And once again, God's people, if you talk to them, they're asking the question, God, how long can this craziness go on in our world? Sometimes as we look at this how long question in Scripture, it is a question which is presented from an accusatory standpoint. We may look at something in the case that I just gave as far as the transgender thing and the LGBTQ stuff and ask, God, how long are you going to act? God, you should have intervened by now. But if we're not thinking along those lines, or perhaps we've already thought about that in the past and we're thinking about something else, as we think about God, we might be thinking, God, how long? I've been praying about this. I've been thinking about this problem with my coworker. And God, how long before the problem with the coworker is resolved? I really need help at work. God, my job is not working out for me. I need better hours, different hours. I need better pay. It's too far for me to go. The work is too hard for me to do. God, I've been crying out to your throne. How long, God, before you will provide me with a better job? Or maybe you have a child, a grown child, or maybe a child still under your care in your home. And there are some family issues there. And you've been praying, God, how long? I'm praying about it. My spouse is praying about it. Our other kids are praying about it. Extended family members are praying about it. How long, God, before you help? It might be that we are involved with a local congregation and that local church is having some issues and perhaps the elders have encouraged the Christians there to pray, maybe persecution, or maybe they're going through some other difficult time. And the question becomes, how long? You see, this how long question, it is an important question in Scripture. Sometimes, as we looked at this morning, God is the one who's asking. But sometimes it's man that's asking. Sometimes the how long question is tied to or based on our behavior. You see, there are periods where we can contribute to the how long question and the answer. Instead of our asking God how long, it might be that God is asking us how long. When you get your end fixed, then God says, I'll take care of what you're asking from me. Now, the ways of God can be perplexing, and that's why sometimes this how long question comes up. Would you believe that the Bible talks about even the dead asking the how long question? It does. And here's where it is. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 10. Here John said, and they, these are deceased people, they cried not just with a voice, but John says they cried with a great voice. What did they say? They said, how long? There's that question again. These people are dead. Talking dead people. God, how long? You're the master. You're the holy. You're the true one. How long do you not judge? And how long do you not avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Now, we may not understand everything about this passage, but there are some things which should be fairly clear. Number one, John is describing God's people. He is referring to the saved. He is describing people who had been martyred, put to death for the faith. And the way that these people had died was brutal. It was terrible. He says, our blood, which was shed by the people on the earth, that was how they died. And John says these people were crying out. Now, if I were to make, and I try not to do this, but if I were to make a guess about the tense, without looking, I would guess that the tense is probably ongoing. That would be my expectation. And I would base that on how things proceed in life. If you, for example, find someone who has lost a family member through something like murder, or you find that they have been crippled because of a terrible auto accident, they will think about that day in and day out. They will perhaps go to their grave thinking about that because every single day they want justice. And when they have the opportunity to cry out, they will do that day in and day out. Well, I'm not usually a good guesser, and that would be true here. If you were to look at the original text, you would find that these people, they were not crying out again and again. John uses the aorist tense to tell us that they cried out one time. Now, that surprised me. But these people, they turn to God and they say, this is my paraphrase of it, but God, we're going to ask you one time, how long That's our question, God. How long before the people who have put us to this, put us in this place because of a brutal death are going to get vengeance? So this picture is not one of bloodthirsty saints seeking vengeance. You might initially look at the text and think that's what the picture is, but that's not. Here are people who come to God. They're in God's presence, and they ask him for an answer. An answer was given. And that answer was not only given, that answer that was given was a satisfactory answer. It seems to me that as we look at this passage, we can infer a thing or two. Number one, it seems to me that we can infer from this that if a person has a question in the afterlife, God is interested in providing that person an answer. I would further infer from this passage that when God answers a question in the afterlife, whatever form that might take, the people who hear the answer to that question are going to be satisfied. Now, we may not get the satisfaction that we want from some how long questions in this life, but that will be limited to this life. I might also go a step further and suggest this. In the afterlife, because the aorist tense is used here, we will not need to ask God any question, if there is such a thing as a question and answer period or anything like that. We will not need to ask him a question more than once. God will be able to give one answer that will fully satisfy people for whatever questions we have for all time. Now, sometimes as we think about God's how long, by our standards, it is a long time because we live in this space and time environment. Going back to the Old Testament for just a second, we have some information in Zechariah chapter 1. Zechariah chapter 1 and verse 12 tells us a little bit about the angel of Jehovah. And it is the angel of Jehovah, or the King James translation will probably have Lord here in all capital letters. The angel of the Lord asks a question. And this question is a question about punishment. Jerusalem, the area of southern Israel, needed to be punished for sin. And the angel of Jehovah comes along and says, is not 70 years a sufficient period of time for punishment? When we think about our world and punishment, one of the questions that we often hear or hear asked is, how long? Think about the child who is told that it's going to be time out. You're going to lose your toy. Or a little older, you're going to have your car keys taken. What's the first thing that comes out of the mouth? How long? When do I get them back? Maybe you've been suspended from a job. The boss calls you in and says, you're going to be suspended. What does the employee want to know? How long? When the judge sentences someone, the person, the defendant, who's found guilty, what's he waiting to hear? How long is my confinement going to be? When it comes to God, that how long question is also one that we often want to know. And it's a question that we should ask. For the non-Christian, that person should consider, how long is God going to let me live? I can look at my life and I can see that I've lived for this many years. Will he let me live another year? Another month? Another week? Another day? Another hour? Until the end of this service. How long will God let me live? Or for the person who is someone who's become a Christian and begins to involve himself or herself in a sin, it would be wise and thoughtful to ask, how long will God let me remain in this sinful activity? Or from a different perspective, we're tempted. And we might look to God and pray just like Habakkuk did, and how long, God? Until the temptation is removed. I'm struggling. Or you look at the person who has perhaps lived a long and full life. Now the body's frail. In a nursing home. Has to be fed. Barely get the head up. Has to have help moving the arms and the legs. But the mind is still active enough to ask that how long question. Oh God, how long? How long until I can put aside this frail body and you take me home? Or the person who's never married or lost a mate and is looking to remarry. God, how long before you'll hear my prayer and help me find a mate? There are a lot of how long questions that we ask in life. When you look at Habakkuk, though, you begin to find a model, a pattern for how to deal with those questions. Number one, the prophet had to have faith, and that's what we need today. When we have a how long question, and it could be one of the ones that I mentioned, it could be a thousand other questions. Have faith in God. If we truly believe that he is, he has the power to help us, and we're asking for his help, believe that he will respond. With that faith, add in patience. A willingness to wait. That's what Habakkuk needed. God said, you're just going to have to hold your horses. I've got a plan. It's a great plan. It's a marvelous plan. If I explain the plan, it's so wonderful and it's so grand, you wouldn't believe it, Habakkuk. God's message to us is, I still have the ability to plan. Therefore, you need to pray. Faith, patience, prayer. Those three things when we're asking how long. Now, as we look at Zechariah chapter 1 and verse 12, we find that God pays attention to how long. When we are wondering and asking how long, God already has an answer. Sometimes we are waiting on God because God is waiting on us. And until, as I mentioned earlier, we get our act together, God may be sitting back and saying, I'll act when you write things in your life. Men have been coming to God, excuse me, and asking the question for a long, long time. Take a look, if you will, at Psalm 13. I know the text is smaller, but I wanted to squeeze it onto one slide. Do you see the yellow four times in this psalm? It begins with how long? How long? How long, O Jehovah, will you forget me ever? He felt like God wasn't noticing him. How long, question number two, will you hide your face from me? Now, that wasn't literally true, but it's how he felt. How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart? How long all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? I mean, these were serious issues. And he comes to God and he says in prayer, how long, God? I'm struggling. I need help. I don't feel like you're paying attention to me. How much longer will it be? Well, let's skip down to the blue, verse 5. He says, but, there's the contrast. But I have trusted in you, God. I've trusted in thy loving kindness. My heart's going to rejoice at thy salvation. I'm going to sing unto Jehovah because he hath dealt bountifully with me. When we think about how long, perhaps when we cry out to God and say how long, number one, realize that that is part of the human experience. Doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. Doesn't matter how great your faith is. You're going to still probably have times, maybe several times in life, that you're going to come to God and you're going to say, God, how long? Please, make it soon. When those times come, we need to be like the psalmist. Here in Psalm 13. God, I trust. I've got that faith that we talked about earlier. And God, it is because of that faith or trust that I've got joy. I feel contentedness. And thus, God, I'm going to praise you. Things may not have been all smoothed out yet, but I believe that that day is coming. God will deal. God will deal well with me. This week, and today starts a new week, would be a good time to reflect on those two little words in Scripture, how long. If we need to make changes in our life, and this morning we looked at several different possibilities, and there are certainly some that were not listed, then as we begin this week, go away today thinking, how long before I begin to make those changes? If we've been asking God as a Christian, how long, and maybe we've been asking God for a long time, maybe more than a year, maybe more than a decade, maybe a few decades, then know that our job is to wait in faith and patience, just like Habakkuk, Habakkuk chapter 1. Do you remember that soup broth that was mentioned earlier? 45 years that's been on the stove. I told that to Teresa and she just said, yuck. And I thought, oh, I got to use that as a sermon illustration then. 45 years. If a soup broth can last that long, then surely our Christian faith that centers around the living God can be a lot stronger and longer than that. Perhaps in our life, God has been saying, how long to us? If that's true of us this morning, or this afternoon, I guess it is now, and we can help you fix what God has been waiting for you to fix, perhaps you've not yet become a Christian. Oh, you believe? And you really want to live in the right way. That's repentance. If this afternoon you'll confess that Christ is the Son of God, you can answer that question, how long? Your answer is going to be today. And it's going to be now. I've waited a long time. Perhaps I needed to wait this long. Maybe I've waited too long. But now, today, that how long question is going to be put to bed. If we have become a Christian, and maybe as we look at our life, we say, well, look, I'm not perfect, and I know everybody's sins, and I'm doing fairly well. Maybe that's true. And good for you in those respects. But maybe there's something else that's just kind of nagging at you in the back of the mind, and you're thinking, yeah, I know, it's kind of like that project that you think one of these days I'm going to get around to doing it. And for a lot of people, that day never comes. Don't do that in the spiritual realm. If you, as I mentioned this morning, scan your life mentally, and you're thinking there's some things that need to be fixed, tidied up a bit, or maybe even some radical changes, think about God. And think about Him looking at us and wondering how long before you fix that. How pleased He would be. How better your life will be if you will say, today is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:2. Now is the time to fix what God has been saying how long for. And my how longs, I'm going to wait in patience. How long so relevant to us. And if we can make it relevant to your life today as far as fixing something, will you let us know how we can do that as we stand and sing the selected song.